Good morning and welcome. It is good to be able to gather here today. I know that some of us were able to join on Zoom, and Zoom is a wonderful invention, and we are very lucky, but what a gift it is to gather in person together, indeed, yes. As we come today, I don't have any particular announcements to lift up. You can find more news about what's going on, especially with the upcoming craft fair that's in March, and ways that you can help out with that if you want to. Information about that and about Lent this month, because today is the 1st of February and Lent begins on Wednesday the 18th. That's all in our newsletter. It's online, but we also have copies available in the back if you want to check that out. And again, if we don't have your email, please get that to us so that, again, we can spam you and send you all the important things that we need to share. As we come before God together in worship, we gather in this sacred space. And may we recognize and affirm the pieces of possibility, the goodness that we bring. And may we allow our individual gifts to weave a patchwork of peace. Let us celebrate the richness of God's world. Please join me in our call to worship. With what shall we come before God and bow ourselves before God on high?
Shall we come before the Holy One, who bear our offerings here the heavens and the
world? Will God be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rams of oil?
Shall we impart the sworn instruction, the fruit of our bodies from the sent in our souls?
God has told us, beloved, what is good and what is required of us. To do justice. And you're invited to rise in body or spirit as we sing our opening hymn, Sanctuary.
Thank you.
Please pray with me. Sometimes the challenges to what is loving and good can be overwhelming. We are tempted to retreat or stay silent. Forgive us for the times we have gone along to get along, and help us to be love with your fierce love, no matter the cost. Dear ones, our tender God knows how many times we have berated ourselves for not saying something when we should have. Our God knows how this grieves us. And God wants us to know that we are stronger than we think, that we are able to speak words of God's holy love, and the Spirit will lead us. We are forgiven. We are beloved. Let us say together what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. And let us offer to one another some sign of Christ's peace and love.
Oh, You'll make a wonderful women's quartet. You know that. What a lovely answer. Where would we be? Where would we be if we weren't being led? Look at our lives and we know God is leading and will lead us wherever we need to go. So thank you for your blessing to us today.
Well, this is the second time in a week's time that I've been asked to pray for a dog. So, Kimberly, you're going to be a foster mother for a dog, and you want us to remember to pray for you and the dog. Okay. Well, you know, I have to admit, there might have been a time in my life where I thought, you don't pray for dogs. But my theology has changed. I now believe we can pray for dogs, and dogs are a part of God's loving care, just as we are. So, when we have a moment of silence this morning, pray for Kimberly and this pet, and may they love each other to death. All right. We watched a dog movie this past.
You know what, Pastor? I did have one more joy.
No, we don't pray for cats. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. come tell us.
I still know how to, I don't think I can. But I just wanted to give a little insight into how our church sign has become quite the buzz in Shaler. And I want to thank, it's become quite the buzz. And I want to thank Carol for that and for Glenshaw Valley for being the kind of church. Let me tell you what happened. People have been asking, you know, they see my name on the sign and they know that the library lady works at this church and, you know. And I have had at least six different groups of people say that when Carol chose to put Happy Holidays on our sign, that that was the most Jesus-like Jesus message to put for this season. Because they had cited other churches that put something like, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season, or keep Christ in Christmas. And that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. But at the same time, these people who all happen to be Christians said it was beautiful that your church recognized that there are other people who don't yet know about Jesus or who love God and are created by God in a different way. And your church was wishing them blessings also. So you've made us quite the buzz, Miss Carol. And thank you all for being a church where all can feel welcome, even when they're driving on Butler Plank. Thank you. I just wanted to say that. And
my, all creatures,
my cat will be
and great. All creatures, great and small.
She's brilliant.
Even cats. Okay. We watched the dog movie this week. Rescued by Ruby. It's on Netflix. If you want a good movie, a good feeling movie about dogs, check it out. I think you might like it as well. So, trusting in the God who lifts up the lowly and blesses those who seek justice, we bring our prayers before the Lord. Let us pray. Oh God, we pray for your church this day, the church in this place, the church in every place, storefront, congregations, mighty cathedrals, rural city, many languages, many colors, many traditions. Bless your church this day. Bless us that we may live the beautiful Beatitudes with humility and courage, that we might truly be a sign of Christ's mercy, justice, and peace in our divided world. Oh God, we pray for those who exercise authority and leadership around the world, leaders of nations, presidents, prime ministers, for each one, appointed or elected, that each one may act with wisdom, restraint, and compassion, always upholding the dignity of every human life. Well, God, we pray for Mr. Putin in Russia, for he is a member of your church. He makes the sign of the cross. But, oh God, get in his head and his heart today in a new way. Get into his thinking and to his believing. Get into his life and thoughts and decisions, that he may see a different way of leading his nation and the world. That the terrible war, the terrible loss of life and property and all that has happened, millions now who have died, unknown numbers who have been wounded, children who no longer have parents, those today cold in their houses and apartments because there's no longer any heat in a difficult winter. Oh God, get in his heart, get in his head, show him a different way that a peace may fall upon the earth. We pray for our community. We thank you for everyone around us and this community that works and leads for the common good, for the blessing of us all. We pray for everyone who might be experiencing fear today, grief, uncertain future, attention and unrest. Oh God, be their refuge and source of hope, and be our refuge and source of hope as well. We pray for everyone who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. May we be one of them today, thirsting and yearning for your goodness to be shown in our lives and in your world. Help us in difficult times, for these are difficult times. We pray for the poor in spirit, the meek, and all who feel powerless, or used, or forgotten, overlooked, that they may know that they are seen, valued, blessed in your kingdom. In this moment of silence, we pray for Kimberly and her pet, and for other pets and people who bless each other, who bring joy to each other, and for all who are unwell and hurting. In silence, we pray for those that we love. Oh God, may each of us today find comfort and strength in your healing presence. And comfort and strength because of the loving care of those around us in this room, for our families and friends who bring us blessing and love. Receive these prayers we offer in faith, and shape us again this day into instruments of your grace and peace. Through Christ our Lord, who taught disciples to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. And invite you again to please rise in body or spirit. This, Mickey, I must say this is one of my most favorite hymns, and I haven't heard it in years, since St. Bonaventure Folk Mass Choir. So I love this song. I hope you will enjoy it too. Maybe you know it. Hymn number 172, Blessed Are They. Please be seated, and our ushers will now come forward to receive this morning's offering. sustainer of all life, our redeemer too, we thank you for the blessing after blessing after blessing that you receive. And we return a portion of our gifts to you, and may they be good for the good of all your creation.
Good morning. This morning's reading is the first 12 verses of chapter 5, the Gospel of Matthew, known as the Beatitudes. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." A reading of the word.
Thank you.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O God, our Creator, our Sustainer. Amen. A couple of years ago, just a couple, my 50-year-old brother called me and he said, "Dang, you're not going to believe what happened to me. I was driving down West Liberty Avenue, no, Washington Boulevard, driving down Washington Boulevard, and I was at a red light, and I looked both ways and I made the left turn because nobody was coming. And the police pulled me over." And the officer was super nice and just said, and my brother was amazed. He said, why are you pulling me over? Do I have a taillight out or something? He said, "No, you made a left turn at the red light." And my brother said, but I looked both ways. Nobody was coming." And the officer said, "Oh, that's, you know, that's not how this works." and he was very kind. But my brother had been driving since he was 16. And so at age 48 or so, he realized that he'd been doing that part completely all wrong. Completely all wrong. That's not how this works. You can't make a left turn at a red light. Now, most of us probably know that, you know. But has there ever been anything that you were sure, I mean, you'd been doing it all your life or for a long time, and it's been working well, and then you find out all of a sudden you've been doing it completely wrong? That happened to me very recently, because I've been interviewing people for a long time in my library career and in my early church career. And I don't like to interview people. I don't know if anybody does, but I love getting to know people. And I always start out with the same question. And I was reading the other day, because I have to prepare to interview some people, that apparently the question that I ask is one of the worst questions to ever ask somebody, because it's completely ineffective, it's too broad, and supposedly if the interviewer says this to you, you know right away that the interviewer is unimaginative and just doesn't know what they're doing. But I've been doing this for years. I've been asking, starting the interview with, "Yeah, okay, it's hackneyed. I read all this too." But I've been asking the question, "So tell me a little bit about yourself." And I think back to one time when I asked this of a young woman named Elaine at the Bethel Park Library. And I called her up and I asked her about it. And I said, you know, am I right when I interviewed you that you didn't like that question I started off with? Because I remember that she had kind of this little smile on her face when I started off by saying, can you tell me a little bit about yourself? And I remember what she said. She said, well, I was born a pretty long time ago, and I don't know much about that process. How far back do you want me to go? And there was dead silence in the quiet study, and then we both burst out laughing. And I hired Elaine, and she was fabulous. And 7 years later, when I left Bethel Park, I mean, everybody knew that she was exactly the right person to lead the team then. And she's still there today, and she's doing amazing things. She cleans up after all the toddler accidents. And the thing is that I really do feel that for a job that works with people, for a job that is about relationship, that question, tell me about yourself, is important. And it is perfect. I see library work, for example, anything where you're face-to-face with strangers who then can become friends. I'm looking for somebody who's compassionate, who's patient, a good listener, open-minded. And so I ask, tell me a little bit about yourself. And I wonder, isn't that a good question for us? Because I believe that every Sunday when we come here, and we come for very different reasons, different weeks we come for different reasons, but we have a choice. Nobody makes us come here. And I bet that each one of us has one common reason for coming to church, though. We want to know more about this man named Jesus. I mean, isn't that part of why we pray and why we listen, why we pray together, why we sing, why we read scripture, why we read the words of others? We ask the Spirit to open our hearts and our minds, our innermost selves, so that we can come closer to understanding this man who really was beyond our complete comprehension, that Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ. Do you feel that hunger? That desire to understand who he was when he walked on earth? I wish I could sit down with him and interview him and say, Jesus, tell me a little bit about yourself. Now we know how Jesus answers questions, though. I'm sure he'd be a little bit cheeky. And he would say, well, I like woodworking, I'm a carpenter. And when I was a kid, I was bad. I used to hang out at the temple when I should have gone home. And then he very well could have said, you know that book, Matthew? They did a good job of saying who I was there when you get to what you call chapter 5. Maybe you too, you've been reading the Beatitudes for many years. You might even have them up on a cross stitch in your house or on a pillow. And sometimes we've seen them as a checklist, another set of rules to follow so we can be sure we get to heaven someday. Am I meek? Am I merciful? But instead, I believe that we can see them as something else. The Beatitudes, as Jesus describing himself, embodying these words as he stood there before the crowd and delivers what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Because in Matthew's gospel, Jesus is poor in spirit, humble, dependent on God. Jesus will mourn at the death of Lazarus and in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is meek when he is accused. He does thirst on the cross. He is merciful when he says, Father, forgive them. Jesus acts purely and is pure in heart when he says, not my will, but yours. And he's a peacemaker when he tells Peter, put away that sword. When they came to arrest him, if you remember, Peter took a sword, attacked a man, his ear, and Jesus healed that ear of the one who was coming to arrest him. Jesus is persecuted and reviled by religious leaders, soldiers, government, systems of power that couldn't tolerate who he was and what he did. This Jesus, this is who he was when he walked the earth. He flipped the power paradigm upside down. And these words of the Beatitudes, the blessed are the mourning, the meek, the hungry, the persecuted, the reviled. How blessed are they? Not, you mean the stoic? They're not blessed. The powerful aren't blessed. What does this mean? No, it is these people in these moments who are blessed, not because suffering is good, but because God is there. In revealing himself in this way, Jesus offers the Beatitude not as a roadmap to some heaven far away, but instead as a way of bringing heaven to us, to open up to us the blessedness of God right here and right now. And so then there's the so what. When Jesus offers us this picture of himself, a poor in spirit, mourning, meek, hungry, the question that follows is, am I living up to this? No, the question that I want to ask myself is, where have I known this Jesus? When have you been poor in spirits, aware of the need, not in control, dependent on grace? When have we felt the presence, the blessing of the Christ with us when we are mourning? When we have been persecuted? And we can also ask ourselves, where might Christ be inviting us to notice that presence now? It's not going to be in the places that look impressive or powerful or put together, but it'll be in the tender places, the aching places, the places we'd rather just rush past, or when they're in us, just keep hidden. Because if we take this time and we believe that the Beatitudes can really show us Jesus saying, this is who I am, then every time you find yourself, we find ourselves mourning or hurting or thirsty or weak, or we dare to stand up with others and stand alongside who are. Those are the moments when we are closer to the Christ than we can imagine. And today, now, we will come to this table, another sacred sacrament that allows us to feel the Christ in a way that Jesus asked us to do. Together at one table. And we celebrate open communion here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, which means wherever you are on your walk of faith, you are welcome to partake of the elements. Let us sing our communion hymn together. Please rise in body or spirit. All who hunger, gather gladly. Thank you.
Please be seated. So here is the invitation. Come, all who hunger. Come, all who thirst. Come, no matter what's needed, because everyone needs something, and everyone needs someone. At this table, we are included, and room is ever being made to include more. More love, more understanding, more food, more drink, more community, and more good and goodness. The invitation to this table belongs to our risen Christ. At this table, we don't get to decide who we sit next to, but we do get to decide to enjoy whoever is next to us, at our right, at our left, behind and before. So, dear friends, come to this table where strangers become friends, friends become family, and family keeps expanding. Come as you are and leave here richer than you came. Here at this table, we bear witness. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We give witness. In dying, Christ destroyed our death. By rising, Christ restored our life. And so we say, Lord Jesus, come. Come in glory. So when we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim his death. Lord Jesus, come in glory. So now here we remember the night during the Passover, Jesus had his last meal at a table, and those closest to him were there. They shared their love for God and for each other. And in the midst of this love feast, Jesus gave thanks and broke the bread and said, take and eat this gift from the earth and from the human hands that prepared it. And know that God gives it to you, a blessing for your body and your spirit. After supper, Jesus took a cup and after blessing it, said, drink this fruit of the vine, the gift of the sun and labor in the fields. Taste and know the goodness of God. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, bless this bread and cup, and bless each of us. May these elements transform us. May they inspire and give us courage to follow the way of Jesus, which ever grows and expands. Amen.
This indeed is the cup of liberation shed for you and for the rest of your history. Let us pray. Together we trust, O God, in this moment of transformation. We trust that it is made possible by you. Give us the strength to continue on the journey and to set tables that are ever welcoming and ever expanding. Amen. Let us rise in body or spirit and we sing our final hymn. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, all those whom you love, and all those whom no one loves, this day, this night, and throughout all eternity. Amen.
Amen.